After the holidays, there's so much to clean up and get ready for the coming year. This leaves me exhausted and a lot of things falling off my to-do list. It's time to lock in, and Omaha Steaks delivers everything you crave to reset after the holidays. An order from them means having high-quality Omaha Steaks on hand at all times. I'm a big meat lover myself, and I always go with medium rare, but there's also plenty of poultry and other options available. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. Let Omaha Steaks deliver high-quality proteins right to your door. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to www.omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their end-of-season sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. Thanks to Omaha Steaks for sponsoring us.
I've got four major takeaways for the Big 12 from the schedule release, and then I'll give you one takeaway for each Big 12 team after the schedule dropped on Wednesday. I'm Pete Mundo. Heartland College Sports is who we are. We cover the Big 12. We are glad you're here joining us to react to the Big 12 football schedule dropping on Wednesday. And I know we're like 2 days removed from the college football season ending, but I'm already fired up for next season. I just can't wait. So my four major takeaways, let me give you those, and then I'll go team by team. First off, the big news that leaked on Tuesday night was the Big 12 moving its championship game from Saturday morning to Friday night. So the Big 12 championship game will not be at 11 a.m. on the Saturday of championship weekend. It will be on Friday night. I don't hate it. I've seen a lot of mixed reaction on this, and I think this is fine for the Big 12. First off, it's the old Pac-12 spot. The Pac-12 used to play on that Friday night. They're gone now, obviously. And what this does is it allows ESPN to move things around. The ACC does not have to go up against the Big Ten on Saturday night. Now, the ACC probably slides into the old Big 12 slot, and the Big 12 gets Friday night. I'm okay with that. I mean, listen, I do think Saturday morning at 11 a.m. is prime time when it comes to TV. I think it's a better TV slot, but the Friday night, you can argue, is a better fan slot. You have all day to prep, get set up, get out there at AT&T Stadium, have a little tailgate, enjoy yourself, and then go into the game. Instead of like, I got to get there at 7 a.m., 11 a.m. kickoff, I got to have mimosas by 9 o'clock in the morning, and then I got to, at 10:15, start packing up. This does allow for potentially a better fan experience. So I'm not opposed to this, and the Big 12 basically did its TV partner a favor. So that was number one. Don't hate it. Number two, the Big 12 is starting to move up conference games into like week two, which the Big 12 traditionally has not done. You look at the week two schedule for the Big 12, and you've got already conference games happening in week two. You have Arizona taking on BYU. You have, what else do we have that week? We've got a lot of good non-conference games. You have week three conference games also picking up steam. But it's very rare for the Big 12 to have one of these conference games in week two, and we're starting to see more of it. Obviously, last year was unique with Farmageddon being played in Oregon in week zero or being played in Ireland in week zero. That was very unique. That was very untraditional. I don't like that. But with the Big 12 kind of filling in some of these gaps and moving some of these games up to week two or three, which traditionally in the Big 12 has not been the case. The Big 12, for those of you who have been around the conference, was always non-conference, 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 one, two, three, and then nine conference games. That's how it's been for a long time. But you're seeing this creep up of conference games into weeks one, two, or three. And you know, a lot of it to me is just kind of how the schedule falls. I don't mind it. It just means your team has to be fired up and ready earlier in the season. You can't use those non-conference games as basically preseason games. Bill Snyder did this famously. he would love to schedule very weak non-conference games. Mike Gundy did a lot of this too, and I'm not knocking them for this at all. It was just the strategy. It was like, my guys need these tune-up games. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have an easier non-conference and get them ready for the Big 12 schedule. So there are coaches who have different ideas on how to go about setting up these schedules. But if you're now playing league games in week two, it's a totally different beast. It's a different animal. And it's one that for the Big 12, if you're a head coach, if you're a staff, you've got to figure this thing out, because you're not going to have the flexibility of just going out there and being like, okay, I got 3 weeks to tune this thing up. You don't. You just don't anymore. All right. So my third big takeaway here for the Big 12 is, can we get the holy war in week 13? This is, to me, and I'm being biased when I say it, I know it, but it's the best rivalry in college football. It may be the best rivalry in all of college athletics. We got to get Utah basketball a little bit better first, but you get the point. Why is the Big 12 not just saying, we're going to compete on rivalry weekend with the game that we think is the best rivalry in all of college football? Now, maybe there have been backdoor conversations with the ESPN overlords and Fox, and they're like, listen, we don't want it. We got Michigan, Ohio State. We got SEC rivalry games going on. We love you, Utah, BYU. We just don't want to compete. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, screw it. Put that game on in your late night window on rivalry weekend, and it will do a monster number. And it would be a prime time. I mean, already Utah and BYU are playing a lot of these 10 o'clock Eastern time kickoff games. And while I don't love the idea of being that late, if it means this game is now rivalry weekend and can and should be able to compete with the best rivalries in the Big 12 and the country for that matter, you've got to do it. I wouldn't shy away from this thing anymore. I mean, you kind of have already some of these rivalries on that last weekend. You've got Arizona playing Arizona State. You know, you have Farmageddon, which once again is not protected. Brett Yormark, would you protect Farmageddon? You still have a chance to make it right. You know, that's solid. After that, there's a major fall off. I mean, maybe you think KU Oklahoma State is something. Not really. TCU Texas Tech, okay, at least there's ties there. But you got something to work with. Just lean in. Utah BYU, lean in. Make it that final weekend of the regular season. That's where it deserves to be. Not in week 10, where, okay, it's November and there'll be probably meaningful football being played in that game for somebody, if not both teams, with a chance to make the Big 12 championship. But come on. Let's just own it. And by the way, if you would help us own this Big 12 space, would you like the video right now if you're watching us? Would you subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review if you're new and you haven't done it yet? And same thing on YouTube. Please do make sure you are subscribed to the channel. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Okay, now the other thing I want to touch on here, my fourth takeaway from the Big 12 football schedule release: week 7 is stacked. If you have a weekend where you're sitting there and you're saying to yourself, no weddings, no kids events, I got to be left alone to my own devices to watch Big 12 football, it's week 7. Okay? That's what it is. You are getting Arizona State and Texas Tech, which has become a good little rivalry over the last couple of years. The two teams who have won the last two Big 12 championships in this new 16-team format. You have Baylor-TCU, good rivalry game. You have BYU and Notre Dame. Oh, that's going to be juicy, juicy in Provo. What else do you have that weekend? You've got KU-K-State that weekend of October 17th. You have the Sunflower Showdown. And then outside of that, okay, you've got games like Utah and Colorado and Boulder. Not bad. Not bad at all. Oklahoma State hits the road to take on Houston. That has some intrigue to it. But man, those top tier games on that Saturday, October 17th, in the Big 12 Conference, That is some must-watch football right there. That is absolutely fantastic. And that's going to be the best week of the Big 12 this season. It is October 17th. Mark the calendars. Thank me later. All I want from you is to make sure you're subscribed to the channel and you're here at Heartland College Sports and you're joining the forums, and the link to the newsletter is in the description of the show. That's all I'm asking from you for this favor in January, telling you right now to clear your calendar on that October 17th date. We good? That's the weekend you want to say, sorry, honey, I can't make it. No weddings, no apple picking, no pumpkin picking. Skip the pumpkin patch. Do it the weekend before, the weekend after. Actually, the weekend before week six, there are five teams on a bye that week. That's the week that has the most byes in the Big 12. Week six. So make your apple picking, the family photos, the pumpkin patch. Do it week six, October 10th. Weather's starting to cool down anyway, most of the country. There you go. I'm doing you a solid. I'm keeping that marriage in check because, listen, I'm doing the same thing, okay? Many of us are in the same boat. You got to keep the women in your life happy. That's obviously number one. But, you know, I understand that time of year football should be maybe number two. Dare I say 1A. But I'm here to help. That's it. That's the name. I'm going to call myself now Dr. Pete, all right? And I'm going to solve all the issues that you might run into this fall when it comes to your schedule. We're on the same page? All right, good. By the way, let us know where you're watching from. Please do subscribe to the channel here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Thank you, as always, for joining us as a part of the show. Now, I'm going to give you a takeaway for each team here in the Big 12. I will do that right now, and I'll just go down the list alphabetically, my big takeaway for each Big 12 team after looking at this schedule. All right? For Arizona, it's the home stretch. The home stretch for Arizona after their Week 7 bye is brutal. Iowa State at home, at Texas Tech, home to TCU, home to Utah, at Kansas State, and then the rivalry game against Arizona State. That is tough, man. And it's something that was talked about on our forums, brought up by Barry on the Heartland College Sports Forums. He noted here, and by the way, they're free to go join, Arizona plays five of the top six finishers from last year in the Big 12, other than itself, and only one team in the bottom six. A much tougher schedule this year for Arizona. This team could see some regression just because of the way the schedule is set up for the Wildcats this year. That's going to be a tough putt for them. There's no doubt about it. For Arizona State, I just see that week 2 to 3, and I'm like, that's a terrible way to start the year. On the road at Texas A&M, and then you go to London to play Kansas. And then you have an early bye in week 4, and then you've got 9 straight games. I hate that. I hate it for Arizona State. That is a brutal way to start the season. And then you have the 1 week off, and then you're 9 games in a row. I mean, it can just wreck your whole season. Ask Kansas State. They never really recovered from going to Ireland. And what that trip does to you, the toll that it takes on a team. I know the Big 12 is trying to do the NFL thing and build the brand. I think it's way overrated in college football, and it's a really difficult spot for Arizona State to be in to play that game after you play Texas A&M at Kyle Field. Next up, let's go to Baylor. Or excuse me, we'll go to, we'll go to Baylor next. So for Baylor, I'm looking at the schedule and, you know, I'm trying to find a way for Dave Aranda to show improvement, to not get himself fired. And I just don't see it. I don't. You got to start off with Auburn in Atlanta, and then your league play is home to Colorado at Arizona State, and then TCU, Kansas, UCF, Iowa State, BYU, Texas Tech, Houston. That home stretch there where you're playing BYU, Texas Tech, and Houston. I mean, if they're still in the conversation at that point, that is three of the toughest games you're going to have in the Big 12 next season. And that's how Baylor closes it. That is just a brutal draw for the Bears in those final couple of weeks of the season. For BYU, it's Notre Dame. Okay, having Notre Dame right there at the top, I think it's one of the best games of the entire season in the Big 12. for non-conference or conference based on how the postseason went last year, the nonsense drama with the Pop-Tarts Bowl, Notre Dame backing out of it, now having this game on the schedule. This is huge for BYU. It is huge for the Big 12. I think it's going to do enormous numbers on the viewership side. And if this thing can become a staple, I know it's a home and home, but if we can make this thing a staple, that's a win-win for the Irish, for BYU, for the Big 12, that would be awesome. I'm giddy just thinking about this game in week 7. I can't wait for it. It's going to be fantastic. So that's the star of BYU's schedule. I love everything about it. UCF has an intriguing stretch here that just stood out to me above the rest. And it's coming out of the bye. UCF, which if it wants to make some noise here this year and show some improvement, I think these are the games that are going to make a difference for UCF. I'm going to call it the religious stretch out of the bye. Hosting BYU and hosting Baylor. If UCF's going to show improvement, they've got to at the very least split those games. They're home for both of them. Crowds are going to be rocking. They also have TCU at home early in the season. So their first three home games in the Big 12, TCU, BYU, Baylor. That's your religious stretch right there with those three Big 12 home games in a row. And if you're TCU, if you can win two of three, that's amazing. You get one of three, okay. You go 0-3. Scott Frost is probably in for a long year, and people are going to question whether or not he can turn this thing around. But that was an intriguing first three home games I noticed for UCF. Cincinnati is in a weird spot because, you know, what has happened to Cincinnati the last 2 years? They have just totally bombed down the stretch. And frankly, with the way their schedule is set up on the back end starting in week 8, they are staring another bombing right in the face. Texas Tech in week 8, Utah in week 9, Houston in week 10, and then Iowa State, Colorado, BYU. You tell me right now how many of those games you think that Cincinnati can win. Maybe you say Iowa State's taking a step back and they might be able to pull it off, but that's in Ames. Colorado is a total wild card. Maybe you can chalk that one up, maybe. But Tech and Utah and Houston and BYU, man, this is, once again, second half of the season is looking pretty ugly for Cincinnati no matter what happens in the first half of the season. And they get Tech at home, which means Brendan Sorsby returning to Cincinnati in week 8. That'll obviously get a lot of eyeballs. But that back half for Cincinnati is very tough. Colorado, a brutal home schedule on the back end of the season. K-State, or look at this. It is really just the whole home schedule for Colorado. Texas Tech at home. Utah at home. K-State at home. Houston at home. And UCF at home. They will probably be underdogs in 4 of those 5 Big 12 home games. Maybe all 5. This is a pivotal year for Deion Sanders. Last year was kind of like, okay, you lose the Heisman winner, you lose your son at quarterback, now you've got to turn things around, right? You got that year last year to kind of reset and figure out what's what. You can't have another year like that if you're Deion Sanders. Because then people are going to be like, were you just a good coach because of your son and Travis Hunter? It's fair to ask that if next year goes like this past year went. So it's a big year for Deion. But man, that home schedule is really tough to swallow if you're a Colorado fan. Meantime, we'll go to Houston, where the home schedule for Houston is just, I mean, it is just yuck. This is tough because Houston's problem, let's be honest, they got to fill that stadium for football. Willie Fritz is building something, and the fans have not rewarded him yet. It's nothing personal for Houston fans. It's just embarrassing that these fans are not showing up for this team this past season. Way too many empty seats. Well, this home slate is not going to help the cause. They have 4 home games in the Big 12, 5 road games. Their home games are UCF, Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, and Baylor. Yikes. Yikes and yuck. Those are all some of the teams that finished near the bottom of the Big 12 this past season. There is not a lot of juice unless you think Baylor brings something to the table with the old Southwest Conference, but it's the last game of the season. Who knows what Baylor's got going on in week 13? This is not a home schedule that stacks up that has fans running to buy season tickets. And that's what's going to make this very difficult for Houston trying to build on last year's 10-win season. Meantime, at Iowa State, well, not an easy start for Jimmy Rogers in year one. Just put it that way. Iowa, of course, in week two. Then you got the Bowling Green game. Then it's home to Utah, home to West Virginia, on the road at BYU before the bye week in week seven. I mean, you're probably looking at Iowa, Utah, BYU. Those are your three toughest games. West Virginia's getting better. Bowling Green, that week three game has been tricky in the past. Just ask Matt Campbell. They've been caught off guard in a couple of those week three games after the Iowa game. It happens. He's rebuilding this program with his team and his guys. And, you know, you got to start off two of your first three games or against Utah and BYU in Big 12 play before a bye week. That is tough for Coach Rogers. That is not the way you want to have to start your tenure at Iowa State. We'll go to Kansas, where I'm looking at their schedule. And you know what stood out to me about KU's schedule? You lose the home game by, oh gosh, you lose this game by having to go to London. Ugh. Kansas fans will only have three Big 12 home games this year with Baylor, UCF, and BYU. So if you are a Kansas fan, you've got season tickets. You have LIU, that's Long Island University. All right, you got Mizzou in week two, that's big time. After Mizzou, you got to go to London. Then it's a week off, home against Middle Tennessee State, and then your final three Big 12 games at home, Baylor, UCF, and then BYU. Not exactly a great draw, not a great slate, and to have to lose a home game for it, that hurts. I know they've got the stadium rebuilds going on right now, but I hate to see college towns lose games for overseas. I don't like it. I don't think it works for anybody. And I think that KU, just like K-State last year, is going to regret giving up a home game for an overseas game. Kansas State, let's go to their schedule. What stands out to me for K-State? Well, it's a nice draw for Colin Klein in the sense that this guy is not going to have to, he's only got to leave Manhattan one time before the end of October. They play at Cincinnati in week four, which is not even a big road trip in the Big 12. Outside of that, they have five home games in their first six games and a bye week, and then one road trip to Cincinnati in week four. So they will leave Manhattan, Kansas one time before October 24th. And then they close with four to six road games. But they are going to be well rested. On the back end, they're going to rack up the miles, but they're going to be well rested at K-State going into the back half of the schedule. So that stood out to me for the Wildcats. Oklahoma State, I'm looking at their schedule for the Pokes, and I'm like, hey, if this thing's really turning around quickly with Eric Morris, and why not? You should be optimistic if you're a Cowboys fan right now. Why not a hot start? Why not? It's a favorable start to the season. Their first four Big 12 games, West Virginia, UCF, Houston, and Colorado. West Virginia might be a toss-up game. Same with UCF, if Oklahoma State has made strides. On the road at Houston will be tough, and then home to Colorado. Why not? You've got three of those four games that if this team has improved the way its coaching staff and fan base thinks it's improved, then they might be looking at it and say, hey, why the heck not? We've got some winnable games on the front half of the schedule, and let's see what we can do with it, right? Why not? So that's the optimism you've got to have right now, and you should have in January when you talk about your team and the 2026 regular season. Why not? For TCU, my big takeaway here, final two games for TCU. Look at this. The TCU Horned Frogs have got to play, really their final three games I think are going to be tough, but let's just focus on the two. Their final two games for TCU, they're home to Utah, and then they're at Texas Tech. TCU wants to make that leap next year. I know they won't have Josh Hoover, but Sonny Dykes thinks they can make that leap next year. If they can make that leap next year, You may be going into Week 12 with that Utah game meaning a whole lot in the Big 12 race, and then who knows what TCU Tech means in Week 13. They also have to play North Carolina in Dublin. That's a Week 0 game. We've known about that for a while. But, you know, they're one of these teams going overseas in Week 0. They're off Week 1. They're off Week 6. They've got two byes because they're going overseas in Week 0. But they are closing the season very, very tough. Arizona on the road, and then home with K-State, home with Utah, at Texas Tech. That's going to be a tough final month of the season for Sonny Dykes, who I think has a lot on the line going into this 2026 campaign. For Texas Tech, their schedule, what do I see? Super favorable. Super favorable. Their tougher games are at home. Houston's at home. Arizona State's at home. Arizona's at home. TCU is at home. Their road games could not be easier on a four-team draw. Colorado, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, and Baylor. It does not get any better than that for Texas Tech. It just doesn't. You couldn't ask. And I'm not sitting here knocking Colorado, Cincinnati, Oklahoma State, Baylor, saying none of them are going to be good. But right now, based on last season, unless these teams have totally reloaded, and I know that in the transfer portal era, you can reload very quickly. However, let's be honest, okay? Let's be fair about this. If you were to draw four teams out of a hat, and those are the four road games you drew in the Big 12 for 2026, you'd be doing cartwheels too, okay? I mean, the schedule is shaping up for 12-0, 11-1, and another trip to AT&T Stadium in Arlington. Someone asked here on YouTube, this is Steven, do you think Sorsby was the right quarterback at Tech? Listen, he's not a $5 million quarterback. I mean, you want to talk about having too much money in the system? You've got too much money in the system when you're paying a guy like Brendan Sorsby $5 million. We watched him at Cincinnati the last couple of years. While the teams he lost to were all generally better than him, great quarterbacks overcome that. Great quarterbacks can find a way to win at least one of those games. Brendan Sorsby never did it. I don't think he's elite. Is he the wrong guy, though? Where else were you going to go? You know, I mean, that's the thing. So I don't know what you would have done there. And it's too bad because I thought Will Hammond, you know, who obviously tore his ACL and won't be ready, could be the kind of guy that was more dual threat than Barron Morton ever was, could kind of give you an element to the offense that Barron Morton didn't. And you saw that at times last year when he filled in for Morton and backed him up. But you couldn't rely on him for this series, so you had to find somebody else. But hey, you know what? Tech's been nailing it in the transfer portal. So who am I to tell them they got the wrong guy? Like, they couldn't have done better in the portal than they did last year, just hitting on so many of these players. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't sit here and say, well, Sorsby's like a guy who gets you to the playoff and then wins you multiple games in the playoff. Unless you just have such elite pieces around him, it doesn't matter. So that's my take on Texas Tech and the schedule and whether or not Sorsby's the guy. I'm Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. Please make sure you are subscribed to this channel if you're a Big 12 or a college football fan. Thanks for being here as always as a part of the show. We're going to be talking football, basketball for the next several months. That's what we do. Utah, their schedule. What stood out to me about the Utah schedule here is they've got the BYU game and then two brutal road games at Arizona, at TCU. That three-game stretch week 10, 11, and 12 for Utah is probably the defining stretch of their season. The Holy War at home and then two road games back-to-back that are tough games against teams that are probably going to be in the hunt in some capacity in Arizona and TCU. That right there stood out to me as just a really difficult three-game stretch for Utah that will be a defining stretch for their season going into 2026. And I'm seeing Utah fans right now saying, hey, you know, I'm worried my team is going to take a step back. I understand that, but I think they're in good shape. I mean, I'm concerned about the coaching staff losses, honestly. They retained a lot of the guys they wanted to retain. Heck, they've got both quarterbacks coming back, Ficklin and Dampier. But I know they lost some pieces. I understand that. You also have a couple of guys on the offensive line that are now going to the NFL, and that's a big part of what made Utah very successful last year was that ground game in the offensive line. So I understand that part of it. Is it last year's team? No. But I think right now the Big 12 is very much wide open when it comes to who's the number two team. But I do believe that top right now, it's fair to say, looks something like Texas Tech. Looks like BYU is going to be in there, as they both should be. And then you talk about teams like Houston, like Utah, like Arizona, Arizona State. And you know that someone's going to pop that nobody expects. That's how it goes in this league. Someone's going to pop that nobody expects. So that's going to be something to watch. Who's it going to be? And every team in this league feels like it's going to be them, and they should. And lastly, the West Virginia schedule. Let's talk about the Mountaineers here for a second, all right? The Mountaineers, what stood out to me about their schedule is that they have the latest bye week in the Big 12, along with the Houston Cougars. And that means Rich Rod year two is going to have 8 straight games, including 1 neutral site in week 3 against Virginia and Charlotte. And then you jump right in the Big 12 play. Oklahoma State at home, at Iowa State, home to Arizona, home to Cincinnati, home to TCU. 8 straight games. And if you're West Virginia, you got to feel like over those 8 games, you should be 4-4 with a chance to win 2 of your last 4 to get to a bowl game. That's what you want to feel if you're Rich Rod going into that bye week. And you might say, heck, I won 5-3. That's fine. I mean, Coastal Carolina and UT Martin, you should want to win those games. Virginia, I mean, was one of the better teams in the ACC last year. Let's not forget that. And then Oklahoma State, all right, how improved are they? Iowa State, have they taken a step back? Arizona, Cincinnati, TCU. If you say out of those, I'll take 2 of 5, okay, maybe you want 3 of 5, that's fine. And then you got to win 1 game down the stretch for bowl eligibility. But, you know, the home stretch is Tech, Kansas, Houston, and Utah. And Tech and Utah are on the road. That is a tough final 4 games. And then you got to welcome in the Houston Cougars in the middle of all that. So that's a difficult spot to be in for West Virginia over those final 4 games. But I guess the other side of that is, hey, better to have a bye there and get that rest before that final 4-game stretch than have it 4 weeks prior, right, and not have that bye. So that's the other way to look at it. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. It is great to have so many of you here. We've got Big 12 football schedules. They're released. You can start setting up the calendar for next fall and know that we're going to be talking about it in the weeks and months to come right here at Heartland College Sports. We have our link to the forums. They're free. They're in the show description. Same thing with the newsletter. Takes you 10 seconds. It's delivered to your inbox 3 times a week. At absolutely no charge. All we ask of you is to share the show with a friend, subscribe to the channel, spread the word. We've grown this thing grassroots with you, because of you, and I thank you for that. Thank you for being here, as always, for a great show. We'll talk to you soon. Have an awesome day, and we'll see you over at HeartlandCollegeSports.com.